over to Harold to share his experience on steps 10, 11, and 12.
Manatic, my name is Harold. I'm a contemplate something. I learned that word in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I ain't one of them guys that can say I learned the word and then break down the meaning. I forgot to look it up. So I'm still running off my wheel a little bit. But I was just thinking about something. Is that close, Easy? Because you'd be looking shit up. Yeah, all right. I was thinking about something, and it just happened to excite me a little bit. I do know that I'm here to do 10, 11, and 12, and I'm going to do my best job sharing my experience with 10, 11, and 12. So I'm going to make sure I share my experience. You'll be able to recognize it was my experience, because somewhere in the midst of me doing 10, 11, 12, you might say something like this: what the hell is he talking about? Because sometimes when you share your experience, before you get finished, it might sound bizarre because it was your experience, so you know where you're going before you actually get there. But the receiver sitting this way, they be like, what is he talking about? So I'm going to do, but I was contemplating how excited I am that I don't shoot dope no more. As I like walked around, I had to sit down because I was getting dizzy. But with everything going on, and it never doesn't just overwhelm me the fact that, you know, I don't shoot dope no more. I'm telling you, I don't cop no more. I don't feel like that, you know, all day long, scared. I don't disappoint everybody anymore. You understand what I'm saying? I don't not keep any appointment anymore. I don't knock on people's doors no more that don't want to let me in. You know, I don't break hearts of people that had expectations of me anymore. I don't sit somewhere and wonder, like, what could I do with my life if I wasn't doing this? You know, I don't do that. It excites me that I'm on any given day, I'm so proud of me, I don't know what to do. I get excited about I can't believe I ride the train with my friend Tanya. I feel like a damn businessman or something. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, I did nothing but cop. I did nothing but cop. I didn't know about no principles or, I did nothing but cop. I never got a shot out the gate to be an adult. I had just turned 17 and stuck a BD-26 disposable syringe on top of a murine eyedropper in September of 1969. Stuck my fat arm out and let the guy just ram it in there and shot dope and never knew another way to live till I was 30. I never knew nothing but copping every day. I never knew nothing else existed but having my chest in a state of panic, wondering if I would be able to cop. I never knew nothing but going to a mall trying to take absolutely anything from a leather coat, including a roll of toilet paper, if I thought somebody had a runny nose. Never nothing different. And now I'm up here to talk about a principle way to live life through steps 10, 11, and 12. I get excited about me. If I didn't have a wife, I'd marry me my goddamn self. I'm not lying. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt what my efforts are. I know how hard I work not to do certain things. I know how bad I feel when I do certain things. And I know my willingness level to keep struggling. I am excited that it's a fellowship for a guy like me. to just keep me around year after year, no matter what I do. But I'm going to share my experience on 10, 11, and 12. My wife bought a new car, so she ain't here. Her and her boyfriend riding around. Nah. Nah. I'm sorry. Because I'm that kind of guy. Because we're going to talk about the 10th step. My thinking makes me need the work of 10th step in my life. Oh, yeah. Having worked and having even written down a list of people whose life I impacted by the way I act and think and behave, and then had a willingness to do something about the list, I get to a 10th step where my thinking still invades my better judgment. And I do stuff like challenge before I know the facts. And do this word called arguing about what I think and what my perception is, with a belly full and a head full of better judgment inside of me. So I'm a miserable combatant now. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just not somebody who doesn't know anybody, starting some stuff, challenging some stuff, not getting my way, being disappointed with some stuff, instead of not having the willingness to work on something or to look at something, thinking there should be some goal or reward for being around so long and for working so hard. Life on life's terms shouldn't just fold and unfold like life on life's terms. It should be something different for me. And when it ain't something different for me, I think I'm owed something. And I'm ready to go off the hook. And it's a 10th step. They say, go on off the hook. Just don't go all the way off. They say in the 10th step, you got to stop and allow yourself the privilege of thinking. So that would mean that something's there that I can reflect on. Because if I stop and allow myself, I think I have to defend me being right. If I'm right, when I was wrong, I'd fold up like a church chair. You understand what I'm saying? Just let it stop. Yeah, that's what set up the need to be able to see damage, to make a list when I talked about that other step. Then I have to know that my behavior impacts people. So, but my behavior that I'm understanding, let me tell you what I mean, that I don't know how offensive I am. Everything hasn't been revealed to me. I don't know that not listening to you is disrespectful. Everything hasn't been revealed to me. I don't know that if I can't participate in certain areas. I'm in a marriage and I'm in a family and it's expectations of me. My wife start working a job where she works from like 3 to 11:30, and I come home like whenever them slave masters let me off. Bless they heart. I come home like about 6. So we got the strangest thing going on. We got 2 babies in our house. We got like twins. I'm 57. I'll be 58 in a couple months. And I got 2 little girls. My little girls, they're not 3 yet. They'll be 3. In June. So I abandoned a lot of children along the way. I have 14 kids. And no, because this is part of where I'm trying to get. And like, most of them are 20 or over. The fellowship's been so good to me that it allowed me to have children and stay put and see what it takes to raise them. And I know it's difficult. But I raised them from a I'm doing all right, I'm trying to get to this real quick, male perspective standpoint. Now, understand what I'm saying, that I figure I don't offend anybody anymore. And that I'm not sleeping around. I come home. You don't have to find me. I'm detectable. And you can identify me when I come in. I don't look like a goddamn sneak thief that done stole something. I look pretty solid when I show up. I even work and I pay bills. That should be the bottom line for me. That's all the stuff I ever heard about that should be the expectation. So anything other than that, I get into a place where now I need a tenth step, because now I'm being challenged. And when I argue, I don't argue about anything but right or wrong. And so I'm stuck in an argument because I think at first you should be able to acknowledge if I'm right, shut the fuck up and listen to me. Wait a minute. We don't go any further. Before you go any further, I'm trying to tell you I didn't do nothing. I'm right. We don't even have to do this. A guy wants to just get it squashed and finish it. I'm with my wife, a woman. She wants to do the expression of what it all is. I don't need to know what it all is. I'm trying to finish this before it starts, because I'm allergic to arguing, because I turn into somebody that I'll need my 10th step, because I can't stop. Because you won't shut the fuck up. I didn't do nothing. Fuck, I said I paid this, I did that, I do this. It's what? 6 o'clock and I'm the only game in town? What are you calling me from your job? Asking me is the house clean. Hold on a minute. Is the house clean? Did the 2-3-year-olds eat? Hold on for a minute. Did anybody cook? Hold on for a minute. Their school closes. That stuff washed. Ain't nobody fucking here but me. The fact that the need to grow just is more. And my ability to, like, quit trying to defend, listening to somebody try to tell me what it takes to stabilize. I'm so accustomed to being in unstable situations. And I want rewards, and I want, you know, acknowledgement for what I do. But I don't want to argue. Because I don't want to destroy the work I've done all the way up to this 10th step. So I'm catching on. Now I feel like doing all kind of stuff. Now if I do so much and you say something, I feel like just losing it and doing all kind of stuff. But maybe I'll do what I'm supposed to do, because something has been embedded in me and I've been able to see what somebody looks like when they're disappointed and hurt. And I don't like how that feels anymore. And I've been able to experience how it feels when you do something rewarding and you living right. But now I'm still this guy that I feel like a fucking sucker and I'm doing everything. What am I the fucking, what are you telling me what the fuck to do? How can I, what am I, a fucking maid? A motherfucking harrow? Wait a minute. What the fuck? nobody's, plus nobody's seeing this shit. No, I'm so serious. I had such a distorted view about respecting women that I think God done put a twist on my life. And I have such a disrespect for what's done in women. I told you I had 14 kids. Most of them I left all that. I never really tasted what it took to do what's necessary just to run a household, to go to work and run a household. I think when my wife said God blessed her with the job, she felt blessed because she had a job. And I think he also stepped in to make me get in touch with, like, you know, at this age, old cat, this is what your mother went through. This is what your grandmother went through. You know what I mean? They got dogged. I watch women get dogged. I watch this be the bottom guy. I ain't doing that. Do this. Get that. Why ain't this done? Why ain't that right? I stomp like this and wasn't nothing but two twins around. So I rant and rave at the 12-year-old and the 16-year-old, 15-year-old, and they like hiding shit. They slip out the doors on me. So my wife say, you need to straighten the boy out. You need to crack his ass. And I say, I ain't got it. It's my son. I don't. How deep is it? He wants to go outside and play. Fucking 15. He don't want to watch them babies. The 12-year-old, she thinks she's 16. She's sneaking out the back door. They just want to go outside. My wife's calling, saying, are they in the house? Are they cleaning? So I'm arguing. I said, don't call this motherfucking house from your job. Trying to run your control shit. You know what I mean? I got dishwater shit all down my elbows and shit. You asking me, is somebody in the house? I'm in the house. It's a job. It's a job. So I figure, if nothing else, now I really feel like Hazel the fucking maid. See, that's what happens when you almost 60. Hazel the maid. I feel like Hazel the maid. And I said, if I clean up real good, maybe when she come home. Now I done had a complete role reversal. I'm cleaning up on my expectation of what's going to happen. And I'm angry if my expectation don't get met. I want it like the TV on demand. I want on demand. Just let me look at it then. Let me watch you get undressed or something. You know, and come home and I got this stupid look. You ain't sleep? No. But let me get the whole thing. I feel I'm not comfortable in my own skin. Because I feel role reversed. So now I figure maybe I'll just be mad. You understand what I'm saying? I'm confused about which role to play. You know? And so I have to evaluate myself. I got to be able to look at what my expectations are. What am I pleased about what I'm doing and why stuff is happening to me? And really get in tune with that. The 11th step says that, you know, that God is going to line his will up, that somewhere along the way, if I got a glimpse in the 7th step of what was in store for me, listen, I'm finding out I ain't who I thought I was.
I'm not who I thought I was. Or everything that I was acting like and the person I was acting like, I just wasn't who I thought I was. I found out that my willingness level is really different than I ever thought it was. I found out something real important, that I am without a shadow of a doubt convinced that I love everybody in my house. Well, I wouldn't do that shit. Because there's nobody in the house but the people I love. Nobody knows about what I'm doing. I found out that God prepared me when he lined up my will with his will when I didn't know what my will was. When I was haphazardly running and bumping and acting crazy throughout this whole fellowship, I had no idea what true joy was. When I come in the house and them little girls hide every day in the same goddamn spot. So I gotta come in. Where's Fat Fat? She right there, right? She's not here. Find me, Daddy, find me. I spent a whole life like that. Hiding. In my spirit, saying, find me, Daddy. If I want my will to line up, if I want to be forgiven for all that stuff, all them abortions, so somebody home one time from the abortion clinic, and we couldn't get in the house. And we were standing out at the door, and I like looked, and it was like blood drops on the. It did. I said, visit God. I just want to be different and do different. And that whole lot of stuff. I just want to be different and do different. I want to be able to experience and in my spirit know that somebody loves me. Yeah. You know, just by looking at them and feeling. I want to be a good husband and a good father and a good friend. I want to have a good name. I used to be confused about even what a spiritual awakening was. I never thought I would experience, after all that stuff, to the meth program, getting duct tape in trunks and in the malls and ripping and running and bar all night and living nowhere and staying in hallways acting like you was waiting for somebody to open the door and disappointing people every Christmas. Being the unspoken of child. Just want to be a good son and a good father. Want to just be tickled about what being in this fellowship can do for you. So I asked myself, well, I expect to do all that. That's as glad I ain't shoot dope no more. I asked myself, I said, do I really feel up to talking about steps 10, 11, and 12? And I thought I was going to bring my literature here and run them up from the literature. And believe me, I'm ingrained in that, and I believe in that. But something said, not today. Don't do that. Something just in my spirit, that same little tip and twist and nudge I get every now and then, just say, don't do it today, Harold. You know what I mean? And so I didn't do it. The last minute, I was going to ask my friend Tony. I seen his ready-go kit in his car. I was going to say, let me go out and get you something. But something still said, don't do it. So I just said, well, I'll just go up and don't do it. You know, but I'm excited about the revelation that it allows us to know that it would be a disappointment for the recovering addict to have somebody stand up and share and appear that they're there instead of appear that they, because two things happen. We get clean, and then we have to deal with life on life's terms. And we live in an ever-evolving world. And we continue to just, like, grow and develop. I didn't know this was going to be a part of the demand of life for me. I had no idea. I thought I was at it when I start giving up money from my paycheck. I shared in Salisbury Steak. What's that place? Salisbury, Maryland. That ain't Salisbury Steak, Sherman. Damn, man. I thought you said you was in school. Salisbury, Maryland, Sherman. Gee, God. I shared in Salisbury Steak over there and about giving up my paycheck and how difficult of a task. I thought that was the top of the world. And I started giving up my paycheck to the house instead of to the shoes and all the rest of that stuff. And it's just a natural process now. I've become accustomed to spending the money I spend and making sure that my daughter, she's in college, and I pay her tuition. Wait a minute. I used to steal from myself out my pocket. I never got a paycheck that I didn't cash. I didn't put nothing in the bank. I put my money in my pocket like I was copping. I'm not talking about when I first got clean. In my pocket. That if God, I didn't trust God. Oh, that's a bold statement, but I didn't. I didn't trust God being able to supply if I do what's right. I had to hold my money, and I had to peel it off and find it and peel it off and not tell how much I made or not tell how much I had and peel it off and hide my pants and put it in a different pocket and fold it up and put it over there and move it from that drawer to that drawer, put a fake out stash there, put the real stash over here, do this, do that, hide this over here, buy stuff, sneak it in the house because I had money. I didn't trust God. And I'm playing with money. I didn't trust God, and money trusts God. The money say, in God we trust. And I'm so foolish that I don't trust God. So I, over there in Salisbury Steak, I start saying, okay, I'm going to do that. And it got better in my house. And that's what I'm saying. I thought that should have been it. But that wasn't it. So I'm grateful to a fellowship. I'm grateful to a God that aligned my will up for me to be able to be at ease enough to be able to respond. If it wasn't for 11th and the 12th step, I wouldn't be able to respond in a 10th step. If God couldn't grab me, it wouldn't make no difference if I stopped and allowed myself the privilege of thinking. I got to be able to let God come in. I got to go all the way so I can come back. I got to continue. I got to be able to look in the 11th step of how I'm living throughout the course of the day to be able to see the mistakes I might be making. Then I'm so argumentative in the 10th step. I need all three of them or I don't have no flow. Is it water in there? All right. Thank you, man. You're a pretty big guy. You weren't angry about getting had to come in here, was you? Keep your eye on this guy, Harold. He might need prayer. Wow. Hey, it takes like a guppy is in here. Oh, it's Ocean City. Okay. I don't know whether to jump in here and swim or what. I truly want to thank the committee for having me come here. I owe my life, no question about it, to the Narcotics Anonymous Fellowship in God. I believe that. I am so grateful for the friends I've met on the way. I'm grateful for, you know, I got some good friends, and I got some friends that have been dealing with me for 20-something years. I met Harold. We must both had a couple months. We was at a convention. We was instantly friends. I didn't know him. I kept my eye on him, though. He was kind of new. I said, I ain't sure what he's about, but he seemed to be about the same thing I'm about, being new. And we've been friends for 20-something years, and I got many friends like that. And I thank God for my good friends. They always support me. I might make the world mad, but my best female friend is Winnie. That's just the way it is. That'll get me dinner. I'm allowed to eat dinner with Winnie. My wife don't mind that. I can get away with that. But I mean, I want to thank the committee. I want to thank my friends. I want to tell anybody who at any time thinks that they struggling, congratulations. Congratulations. Anybody at any time think that they frustrated and they just can't take no more, congratulations. Anybody at any time that feel like just busting something up and don't bust nothing up, congratulations. I mean, that's some excitable stuff. Anybody anywhere that ever been put out of somewhere for the way they act and been able to go back because they changed the way they act, congratulations. And yeah, and I want to thank anybody anywhere that want to give me $2 or $3 before I leave here, congratulations. Thanks for having me here.